You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. To the journey.
Hey, and welcome to this week's installment of To the Journey.
To the journey!
To the journey!
Brought to you by Trek FM. This is a Star Trek Voyager podcast where we discuss any and all topics related to this underrated series. I'm Lori, and with me are...
Tristan Riddell.
And Charlene.
Tonight, we're tackling our first in-depth character study, and we started at the top with Captain Janeway.
Ladies, I am really excited about this podcast because... I believe that in the history of Star Trek, we have nothing but great captains. I feel like from Kirk, Picard, Sisko, Archer, and finally Janeway are just all fantastic captains who deserve to sit in that chair.
Absolutely,
and yes.
Absolutely. And with Janeway, we have a little something different, not just because she was the first woman to lead the series, which she wasn't the first captain that we ever saw.
No.
But she was the first captain, a woman captain to lead a series. She was a scientist, which made her different from everybody else, which I thought was really cool, especially in this day and age, because you had Kirk, whose basic designation was badass.
And yeah.
Then you had Picard, who was more of a diplomat and kind of archaeology on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had Sisko, which... he was stationed at Utopia Planitia and did some ship design. And if you guys have any more information on the history of Sisko, I'd love for you guys to write in. Or for you guys to chime in, if you know.
I don't know.
No.
But no, Janeway was a scientist who was assigned to the Albatani, the USS Albatani, as the science officer, which was captained by the then-captain, Paris, who is now Admiral Paris, Tom Paris's father.
Yep.
And she was born and raised in Bloomington, Indiana, which is actually not that far from me, which I was really proud that someone was born in the Midwest like Kirk and who was close to me. And we now know because of Nemesis that she actually made it to Admiral and she's no longer Captain Janeway.
Yeah, she's ordering Captain Picard around.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
And if you think about it, like with Kirk's demotion down to captain, that this is the only captain character that we see get promoted to admiral and keep it because we didn't see Picard do it, we didn't see Sisko, we didn't see Archer do it. Even though we know through different ways that these people do get promoted, except for Kirk because he's dead. I feel like this is cool because not only is she a woman and a captain, she gets promoted and she keeps it.
Yeah,
you
go
know
Janeway.
Absolutely. So basically, with this huge introduction of a great character, Char, what were your first impressions of this iconic character in Voyager?
All right. When we first see her in Caretaker, you know, we go shift the camera from Tom Paris, who's in this prison, and this lady, this voice that we hear, she calling to Tom Paris. She's got her hands on her hips, the bun of steel on her head, and she is this no-nonsense, tough-talking, you know, I just instantly took her seriously as the authoritative source. She was definitely Captain Catherine Janeway, and I loved that. I absolutely loved that, and I fell in love with her that very instant. I really did. I just thought, okay, I can get behind her. This is cool. I like it.
Yeah.
So, pretty much from the very first moment I was in. What about you, Lori?
Well, I kind of thought she was a badass from the beginning, too, to be honest with you. Whenever Chakotay and Tuvok, they show up on the bridge, and she goes up and gets in his face, I thought, all right, here we go. This is
That's a good moment.
That was really cool. I like that.
Yeah, she does get all up in his face. They're mere inches away from each other.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Don't be messing with me. Don't you do it.
You're on my bridge.
It took a little longer for me. When I first saw her, well, like in that moment that you were talking about, Char, when she's like Tom Paris,
you know, like, could you know, do that again?
Yeah, do it again.
I, I don't know if I can, where she's, you know, like I love the moment that you're talking about. She had her hands on her hips. She's like, I'm Captain Catherine Janeway. You know, like, you know that she practiced that line 30,000 times in her dressing room.
She had to have, yeah.
But I actually, I mean, I did like her in Caretaker because I love Caretaker. I think it's a fantastic episode.
Me too.
But I really didn't connect with her until the second season. But in the episode, I kind of was, I gave her a shot when she started dressing down, not dressing down Harry Kim, when Harry Kim said, there's something out there, you know, which is so vague. And, you know, Harry Kim is always so vague when he's at operations. And she says, yeah. I'm going to need something more than that, Mr. Kim.
Yes.
That I really enjoyed that because all through Trek in TOS, TNG, even Deep Space Nine, you have these science and operations officers who say, I got an anomaly or I got something out there. You better come and see this. And no one gives any descriptions. And then, bam, Janeway's like, yeah, okay, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, so, thank you.
Yeah, man, yeah. You went to school. Can you prove that you went to school? Use some of that education.
Yeah. Exactly. So I think that's the moment when I was like, okay, all right, you haven't won me over, but I'm going to give you a shot. And I felt like there was a few cheesy moments in the first season. Like, oh, geez. What, I cannot remember the episode where they accidentally hurt this alien from the inside.
Oh, the cloud.
The cloud. Thank you. Thank you. It was in the cloud when she, when Neelix wanted to leave, and she's like, just like Jonah and the whale. And she makes that clicking noise, like we're going in. Yeah. I felt like, ooh.
That was a little cheesy. But you know what makes up for it was the whole coffee subplot? That's the episode where we learn that Janeway is such a coffee addict.
Yeah.
Char, you should talk about that because you love that aspect of her more than anyone I know.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So how about we talk about her love for... Because, you know, with Picard, we had a love of tea, but then we went over to coffee, so let's talk about that. Well,
okay, yeah, we've got to talk about Janeway's addiction here, and I totally have a mutual thing in common with Janeway right off the bat, because I love coffee. Mm-hmm. I was a barista for many years, I am a coffee connoisseur, and if Neelix had poured me that goopy slop in that episode, The Cloud, as he did, my jaw would have been to the ground, too. What are you giving me? That looks like chocolate syrup or hot fudge sundaes, something or another. Not coffee. Get me real stuff. And I love the fact that Janeway does kind of have this addiction. I think it kind of humanizes her a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. She's always got that mug in her hand. It's what keeps her going. She beats the Borg with it. I mean, what more do you want out of a drug?
I love that she says that, too. She's like, I beat the Borg with it.
Yeah. How can you go wrong?
I want a poster of her on the wall, like, with her one eyebrow raised in the air and holding a cup of coffee with that slogan on the bottom. I beat the Borg with it.
StarTrek.com. Get on that. I will buy it. Shut up and take my money.
Absolutely. I don't know why I made her, like, old-timey.
Grandma.
Like, she was like, like some sort of grandma. Like,
you could do like a 1940s style propaganda poster, even where she's got that raised eyebrow and the cup in front of it, you know?
Like Rosie the Riveter.
I beat the Borg with it.
There you go.
Yeah, we need to talk to Landru. He would probably do that for free.
Cool. Landru would get on that. He would. Okay, Landru, there is your request, buddy.
And you better be listening.
Yeah, exactly. You better be. Mm-hmm. And if we don't hear from you, we know that you don't, and you are in big trouble.
So Lori, in Endgame, we find out that she switches to tea later on.
Yeah.
How did that make you feel as a viewer, Lori?
I thought, come on. Really? Tea? Tea. No, you cannot go with tea. That's so weak. That's not you. You can't beat anything with it. And she switched back to coffee before she confronted the Borg Queen again. So, I mean, there you go.
That's true.
See, she knew she needed the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Because so some have the power of Grayskull. She has the power of caffeine.
Yes.
And I think that that's how she beat the Borg. That's when the episode of Endgame took a turn she switched back to coffee.
Yeah, all that extra caffeine flowing through her central nervous system, having her on high alert like that, that was the edge. That was the edge that she needed.
Maybe when the queen assimilated her, it wasn't the virus, or maybe the virus was actually just copious amounts of caffeine.
Probably.
Ooh, you think?
Probably. Too much stimulation or something.
It's like the equivalent of a bottle of caffeine pills flowing through the continuum, yep. The collective.
Now, we all love Captain Catherine Janeway, and she spells it with a Y, which people need to realize online.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
We all love Captain Catherine Janeway, but one of the main things that I really enjoy about this character is her relationship with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at, if you look at TOS, Kirk had Spock, Kirk had Bones, but it didn't really have that kind of, didn't have that relationship with anybody else. And with TNG, you know, Picard had certain types of relationships with everybody. Like, you know, he had his number one. He had that special relationship with Guinan and Deanna, and that really weird sexual tension relationship with Beverly.
yes.
Actually, you know, the more that I'm talking about it, the more I'm realizing he did have something with Data as well, helping him through humanity. So I need to give Picard more credit. But with Janeway, I felt like she had famous moments with every single person in the crew.
Yeah.
I mean, she had the sexual tension with Chakotay. Mm-hmm. She had the best friend, like beyond, like the Guinan type relationship with Tuvok.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
The disciplinary mother type thing with Paris.
And Seven.
Well, let's just talk about that right now because that relationship dominated the last three seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it absolutely did. And
I want to hear your girl's perspective on it.
Well, I don't want to talk too much about Seven because we're talking about Janeway this week.
Well, yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, there was certainly that dynamic where Janeway took on the motherly mentoring role to guide Seven, definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think at first I was all for it. I really liked it. I thought that was the direction it should go. I will admit, though, that I got tired of it after a while because, as you said, Tristan, it dominates the latter half of the series, and I just want something else. It's like, okay, we've got this. Mm-hmm. Let's do something else now, and they don't. But you know what? Janeway is a motherly person, not just because she's a female, but she's definitely got that instinct where you can tell she genuinely does deeply care for every single member of her crew. And I think what you were trying to articulate earlier, Tristan, was you would not see really Kirk hanging out with Uhura in the mess hall.
No.
Right.
When they're off duty. Now, Janeway, it didn't matter if she ran into B'Elanna or Chakotay, Tuvok, Ensign Kim, or Ensign Wildman, she would come by and say, hey, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
How are things going?
Right.
What's going on with you? She would have that chat with you, sit down, get her cup of coffee, and listen for a moment. And that's what I like about her.
Mm-hmm. But don't you think it took a while to get to that point?
Well, okay, yes. Lest we forget, she did not start out this way.
Right.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, definitely.
She, I mean, what episode was it where she's, there's the voiceover log and she's talking about, we're in this unusual situation.
Parallax.
Was it right after? Okay.
I think it was right after. I thought it was Parallax. I might be wrong.
I'm not sure.
I think it was actually the cloud because she's looking around for something to drink. Remember, she's looking for the coffee and that's when Neelix comes in and...
Okay, I think you're right, Lori.
I think you're right, Lori. Good call.
Yeah, she's talking about, I'm not really sure how involved I should get with this crew, even though we're all alone out here. And she's essentially muddling through making that decision. But I think as time goes by, it just naturally happens.
Right. It was like almost to accept the fact that they're going to be there is just accepting that they might not get home. And maybe she had to come to that realization for herself that... this is going to take a long, long time. I'm sure that was hard to accept. Really? I mean...
Oh, sure.
That would be really difficult. But
but
she did.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm glad that she did, because one of my main regrets with TNG was that it took Picard 7 years to sit down at that poker table.
You got it. Yeah.
And Janeway, it did not take 7 years for her to sit down in the proverbial poker table.
Right.
And I'm really glad about that.
Mm-hmm.
And because we see her... you know, go to, not poker games, but we see him, like, she plays pool in Sandrine's. Mm-hmm. She goes to recitals with them. She sits down with them. She has dinner with them. And she still maintains her authority But, I mean, she performed ballet in front of them at one time.
For Talent Night. Yes, she did.
Yeah, for Talent Night. It was the Dying Swan or the Black Swan or something
Dying
like
Swan.
That. Which I was just like, I was like, why? Yeah, no, thank God it wasn't the Black Swan. But, but yeah, that just kind of blew me away. I was like, I kind of wanted to see it, but I was okay.
Like,
it was something that intrigues you, but you're all set. You know, like.
You think about it. Oh, I really would like to.
No.
Nah.
No, thanks.
Hearing about it was enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just the perfect level of entertainment.
Yeah.
Okay, you mentioned Sandrine's and how Janeway was playing pool. I just want to mention how awesome it is that Janeway was a little pool shark and played innocent at first. You know, she's flirting a little bit with Chakotay. Commander Chakotay, your stick. And then she's putting freaking 8-Ball in the side pocket effortlessly and
not looking at it.
No.
We never did get the backstory on that. I wonder if she played in the academy or something.
Well, they didn't talk about it in Mosaic.
No,
No, she played tennis.
That's right. That's right. Which I, for all of you who are listening, the three of us have read and love a book that's written by Jerry Taylor. Called Mosaic. And if you don't know who Jerry Taylor is, look it up, because that's sad. If you're listening to this podcast, you should know who Jerry Taylor is.
Seriously.
But it was written by her, and there are two fantastic books that give backstories on Star Trek Voyager characters, and that's Mosaic and Pathways. And Mosaic is all about Janeway. Pathways is about everybody else.
Yep.
And there are a lot of things that are mentioned in the series but not elaborated on are elaborated on in this book, i.e. playing tennis. And she talks about that story of walking home in a storm after she loses a tennis match. She mentions that in an episode. I can't remember which one. But we get to hear that entire... It was in Coda. Jeez.
Sorry, I'm a nerd.
Me too. It's okay.
We're all nerds here, just some at varying degrees. But yeah, no, we get to hear that whole story. And... one story that I thought shaped her that I would have loved to have seen in the series was talking about her father and fiancé's death. Not Mark.
Right.
Her first fiancé, who was a fellow officer.
Yeah, Justin. Mm-hmm.
Justin
Teig, if I remember right.
So I won't spoil anything for you except, well, I guess I just gave
you
a huge
did,
spoiler.
Too late. But this book has been out for a while.
This book's been out for a while, but I definitely suggest you read it. And the audiobook is read by Kate Mulgrew herself.
Yes, it's great. I love it.
And it's on iTunes. Spend the $10, get it.
Yeah, I did. I've had that on my iPod for a while.
Me too.
But back in the day, I also had the audio cassettes. Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a very good book. I love Jerry Taylor's novels.
Mm-hmm.
She's really good.
Yeah, I really like that. I think she should continue her writing career in novels. But hey, who am I to tell her what to do?
Yeah, I mean...
She's retired now from what I've heard.
Okay.
Yeah, but another thing that we... let's clear something up for me. This just occurred to me. In Mosaic, it's mentioned that she has a sister, Phoebe... Now, is that ever brought up on the show? I'm not remembering now. I'm getting them confused.
She did.
Yeah.
She mentioned a sister being the artist of the family.
Coda. Okay. That's Coda again.
A lot of backstory in Coda, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, that was also written by Jerry Taylor, and I'm sure that's why.
Mm-hmm. Right. In my mind, Mosaic is canon because it's written by Jerry Taylor.
Well, like,
Me too.
I know... Whenever I say the word canon on any podcast or on Twitter, people just flock in and say, nar, nar, nar. You know, everybody has their own opinion on what is canon and what isn't. But yeah. I'm a big fan of personal canon.
Hey, me too.
I believe that, like, obviously you can't argue personal canon. Like, I can't say, oh yeah, absolutely, Mosaic is canon, anything that's in it, and you're wrong if you disagree with it. I can't say that. The only thing that it really is canon is on screen.
Right.
But Mosaic, to me, because it's written by Jerry Taylor, it's someone who created Star Trek Voyager. I feel like I've gotten to know this captain more than any other captain because of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I am very much with you on that. And I think it was very appropriate that Jeri Taylor wrote this novel because she had the biggest hand in creating Captain Janeway.
She did. Yeah. That was her baby.
I'm glad that a woman created a female captain and had a big hand in it. Now, ladies, your ladies, when the announcement happened that there was going to be a female captain for the first time leading a series, how did you feel? What did you think when that first happened years ago?
Well, when it was very first announced in Star Trek Communicator magazine or wherever I heard it first back in the 1994. I was elated. I just thought, you know what? It's about time. Hooray! And then later on, of course, I read all those TV Guide interviews where there was all that mix-up with Genevieve Bujold and all the anxiety of, are we going to have the female captain? Is this going to work? And then fortunately, Kate Mulgrew comes in and saves the day and everything is fine. I remember going through all of that at the time. And you know what? It made me nervous to not have a female captain. And I know there was opposition. I mean, they had death threats coming into the offices. If you have a female captain, blah, 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 blah.
Do those guys watch Star Trek? Like, do they understand
I don't know.
What
I mean,
Star Trek was about?
They were talking death about threats. People overseas saying, if you know, if a female cannot be captain and, you know, very different cultural viewpoints, that sort of a thing.
Okay.
And
okay.
So, you know, they wanted to pressure Paramount to back down on it, essentially. And it obviously nothing happened with it, but it did that part of it did happen. And thank goodness that Kate Mulgrew came in and played this character, because I can't imagine anybody else Mm-mm. playing her the way that she played her, with such passion, such livelihood, such an awesome range of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to articulate something that's just not coming out of my brain properly. There's just such a beauty to the way that she's portrayed by this actress.
Well, how about you give us some of your favorite Janeway moments?
Okay. The very first one that comes to my mind is in the first season in Eye of the Needle, where she's talking to the Romulan scientist, Telek Remor, and she's trying to convince him to let the crew send him some messages so that at least people back home know that they're alive and well and they are on their way home. And, of course, as a Romulan, he's very not trustworthy of her at this point, and she's doing her darndest to establish rapport. And she does it by, not necessarily by diplomatic means, as Picard would. She does it through compassion and humanizing the situation. Mm-hmm. She asks about his personal life, and she finds out that he has a daughter, and then uses that to relate her circumstances to get him to realize just how much it would mean if they could do this. And I just thought, That's a great thing for Janeway to do. The way that she did that, it was just perfect.
All mm-hmm. while in a nightgown.
Right. Picard would not be wearing a pink nightie while negotiating with Romulans.
No, but he would have his loose-fitting shirt that covered nipple.
Yeah. Yes, he would. Yeah, the nightie is just Janeway's version of the shirt. Yeah.
That's creepy
but
shirt.
Anyway, that was the very first thing that came to my mind. Lori, what's yours?
I like the relationship that Janeway had with Kes. I don't know, Kes was not my favorite character. She just was kind of blah, but other than that, I just like the relationship that they had. I think it was in the episode Elogium when Kes really needed somebody. She really was, because she started going through puberty or something early and she wasn't ready.
Yeah, basically.
I don't know. I think it was just such a beautiful thing to see that relationship between the two of them. And really, I would say that's probably would be a turning point for Janeway, truthfully, because up until that point, I don't think she was very maternal toward anyone. And I really like that aspect of her character. I like to see that. And I like the way it developed after that, too.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because she gives Kes this really big hug. Mm-hmm. In that episode, could you imagine Captain Picard giving Deanna Troi a big hug in the second season?
No, not at all.
I didn't really think of it that way, but
like, think about the child where Troi ends up pregnant and she's like all freaked out or something. Picard would not be hugging her, not at all. So
no.
This is another thing with Janeway. Her compassion really comes through.
I'm trying to think of a time when Picard hugged someone.
Yeah.
I know it happened, but I'm drawing a blank. I'm having a hard time.
Oh, well. Well, this isn't a Picard cast, so it's fine.
No, it's not. Yeah, but Janeway would hug. That's our point.
Yeah, yes. That is the point, really.
Yeah, we like that.
Hugger and a badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, compassionate badass.
There you go.
All rolled into one. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, one of my favorite moments, even though you guys didn't ask.
But, well, please, Tristan,
tell us.
What is your
favorite moment? Go ahead.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, since you asked. One of my favorite moments, well, actually, would have to be in Deadlock.
Oh, that's such a great episode.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because we get twice the Janeway in that episode.
That's right. I was going to bring this up.
Yeah, a lot of people think that Endgame was the first time that we get two Janeways. I say nay.
No.
Deadlock.
Yeah.
I loved the, and forgive me for using this word, but duality of what was going on between the two characters, because one ship was in shambles, one was okay, and like one was expected to make it, one was not. And so we got to see how Janeway would react in both of these situations.
Yeah.
Like, you know, normally we wouldn't get to see, we could guess, oh, well, if this happened, then Janeway would have reacted this way. But if the other thing happened, she would have reacted this way. We all had to guess. Well, we actually got to see it. And that moment when she was, well, I guess I have two favorite moments of that episode. When they were arguing, when they were face to face in engineering, and she's like, "You're going to blow up the ship." She's like, "How do you know that?" I love that conversation between the two of them.
Yeah, and what do you mean? How do you know that? I am you!
Exactly. And that final moment in the episode when the Vidians finally make it onto the bridge, and she says, "Welcome to the bridge." And then, boom! Huge explosion.
Yes.
That's how cool. She explodes calmly. None of this huddling with your loved ones bullcrap, okay?
Welcome to the bridge.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm glad you brought up this episode. It is such a great Janeway episode. And now that I've thought about it, I think this is where we get that little tidbit about the tennis match. Because initially, Janeway's trying to prove to Janeway, hey, look, I know things about you, and I'm not some weird imposter. I am you.
Yeah, that's right. She did.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I love the way that they did that. You've got disheveled Janeway with the loose hair and the scar, or not the scar, but
the big cut.
Scratch
the
on
cut.
Her face. And then you've got perfect, prim Janeway where everything is just freaking fine. And it's done so incredibly well. That was so much fun. That's such a great episode.
Mm-hmm.
Love it, love it, love it. Yes. All right. And okay, another one I wanted to bring up, which sort of has something to do with Janeway, but is not necessarily about Janeway in and of herself. 1159, about her ancestor, Shannon O'Donnell. Of course, played by Kate Mulgrew. And of course, that tells this tale about Janeway thinks that Shannon O'Donnell was this amazing astronaut who had a big hand in helping start this Millennium Gate. And then, of course, we see the truth as the story unfolds, where she was unemployed, barely making anything go on in her life, just stumbles
car breaking
onto,
down
yeah mm-hmm. She just stumbles into this whole thing with the Millennium Gate, and then is a consultant on it, but that was really about all that she did with it. And I don't know, I just thought it was a very touching, humanizing tale, because I think in every family there's that hero that we're inspired by, who was really great, and we idolize that person. They can do no wrong. And then, of course, Janeway finds the truth. And, oh, she was just a regular Joe like everybody else. But
yeah, they say never meet your heroes. And essentially, she did that in this episode. And it lit her down.
Right, right.
But I liked that we had that journey, 1159, because, you know, this was the reason why she is the person that she is, and so she had to go through that identity crisis to help us understand who she wanted to be, who she is, and then she realized it doesn't matter, because that person, whether it was a real story or not, you know, influenced her.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I really enjoyed that.
You know, yeah, which is why that whole thing was told in the first place, and I think that's what makes it a fun journey to go on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's get to the crème de la crème of the podcast. Let us figure out what is our favorite Captain Catherine Janeway episodes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is so tough. We have to pick one?
Yeah. Just drop the nerd bomb. Yeah, it's got to be one.
Oh, man, you're making my brain
maybe,
hurt.
Maybe two, but if I let you have two, you got to rank them. Same rules as Star Trek Question of the Day on Twitter.
Okay.
If you give me two, you got to rank them.
Okay.
All right, okay, I will let you guys think, okay? And I will give mine.
Okay, go for it.
All right. You guys aren't going to like these answers.
Okay. All right.
But my two favorite Captain Catherine Janeway episodes are The Q in the Gray and Fairhaven.
Oh my god. Okay, please explain
there it is.
Yourself.
There
oh
it my. Is. There it is. Mm. I dropped the I'm not just going to drop the bomb and walk away. I'm going to talk about it.
You better. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
I love Q. I think Q is a fantastic character. He's an enigma. He is fun. He's a little devil. And the fact that he was introduced into Voyager was genius. Okay? Now, they tried it once in Deep Space Nine and realized, wow, that sucked. We're not going to do that again.
Right.
Because he had zero chemistry with Sisko. Now, I think Sisko is amazing. I love Sisko so much. But he had zero chemistry with Q. The characters just didn't match. Picard had it. Janeway had it. But in a very different way. And I love that this guy tried to convince Janeway to mate with him. This is just mind-blowing that this actually happened.
Yes.
And we get to see the Q continuum. And not for the first time, but for the second time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's no longer just a dusty highway, but it is the Civil War, essentially. That's how we view the Civil War. And I just love seeing everybody in the costumes. Mm-hmm. And I love her description of humanity, because Q wanted the quote-unquote injection of humanity into the Q DNA gene pool, if you will. And that created great dialogue and discussions about what it means to be human and what it means to be human in the 24th century. And I felt like her defense of her ideals was very... Normally, she can come off as self-righteous, I think, mm-hmm. a lot of times.
Yeah, she
but
can.
But I feel like in this episode, it was justified. And in Fairhaven, that was just a freaking fun episode with arm wrestling and rings and sleeping at the seaside. And I love that it addressed how our captain wasn't getting any. Okay, everybody was getting some, except for the captain.
Right.
And
there
was a reason. Yeah, because like it's... My favorite conversation in that episode is between the Doctor and Janeway, where they talk about how everybody is her subordinate. She can't be with anybody else because it's wouldn't be right. And it analyzed how, like, you know, Kirk got with everyone. Picard was very choosy. and Sisko was even choosier. My goodness.
Right.
But Janeway just didn't have the option.
Right, yeah, and it's about darn time that they actually mentioned that in the show in and of itself.
So that's why those are my two favorite episodes. But Lori, I want to hear yours.
Oh, I guess I'll just go with the one. And they talked it to death on the Ready Room, so I won't talk it to death either. But I love Bride of Chaotica! That is my favorite Janeway episode ever. Oh my god, that's so fun. That's what I like about it, because... The show is so serious all the time. I mean, they laugh. They have a good time every once in a while, but it's this alien has threatened us. We're going to blow up the ship. It's going to blow up the ship every week. And then there's this. And it's just crazy from beginning to end. And then that moment, and I have this music on my iPod, and every time this song where Arachnia comes out through the door, every time that comes on, I can visualize that in my mind. They open up the door and she walks in, and the first time I saw that, I remember going, oh my god, what is that? That was it was so great. It was so amazing just to see Captain Janeway be something totally different than what she normally is. I guess that's what I liked, because she's just such a serious person all the time. They never let her humor come out. And then this, where, I mean, it's still serious. You still have to save the day or whatever, but she gets to be silly and crazy. And I just love that, because that's basically how I am all the time. I hate being serious. So just to see her be that way, I enjoyed that so much. But anyway.
That was fun.
For those of you who don't know, the music that's at the beginning of our podcast, the opening theme, is the opening theme of Voyager. But then after the record scratch, it turns into Bride of Chaotica music. So we all love that episode.
Oh, love it.
Yes, totally.
So fantastic, totally. Yeah.
All right. How do we want to deal with two-parters, Tristan?
Oh, I believe that two-parters are one.
Oh, thank
I always
goodness.
Believe that.
There you go.
Okay.
Like, when people talk about best of both worlds, like, I hate it in trivia contests when they say, what episode was this line given in? I say best of both worlds. They're like, eh, it was best of both worlds part two. And I can't stand that.
No. All
so
right.
I see it as one episode.
Okay, I am so with you on that, because that makes my life 10,000 times easier when it comes to just one prima, you know, awesome Janeway ep. I'm going to go with Scorpion. Mm-hmm. Because it shows a very imminent thing that's going, we knew it was bound to happen on Voyager, the Borg coming in, and how Janeway handles that, and ultimately what she finds, at least for a while, is she feels very alone. She realizes just how alone she is in trying to handle this very monumental problem where, you know, if this were TNG season 3, we would think, oh, you are so dead. But this is Janeway, and it's many years later, and we know some things about the Borg. And she goes back and forth and back and forth with Chakotay on it, and, you know, really kind of struggles with what she's going to do until a decision has to be made. She goes with her gut, and then, you know, then she's kind of out of commission for a little while. Chakotay does his thing, and then they're at odds again. And then what? Oh, she realizes we really need to be working together. This is doing us no good. It shows so many different sides of her. It mm-hmm. shows just how focused she is, how much she's willing to sacrifice for her crew.
And how pissed off she can get.
And how pissed yeah. off she can get, how sleep deprived she can get. And even though I don't think it fits very well in that story in and of itself, except for the one scene where she discovers make a deal with the devil. The whole Da Vinci thing is an interesting interaction with Janeway. But then, yeah, I just kind of like the way that she comes around and realizes, okay, I was a little stubborn here, which Janeway has a hard time admitting, and comes to more of a compromise so that she and Chakotay can work together and save their crew and get them out of this situation. Mm-hmm. So I love Scorpion. Just love it.
Well, good. I mean, I think we pick some good episodes, if I do say so myself.
Oh, and there's so many more too, oh. but mm-hmm. yeah.
This could easily be a two-part podcast.
Probably.
Yeah.
Let's continue it in the future sometime.
Sure.
Absolutely. Well, you can't just talk about Janeway just once.
We want to give some shout-outs to Phil Prescott, who wrote us last week and this week. Thank you so much for writing in. And to Robert Reyes, thank you for writing in also. And thank you to Matt Rushing and Michael Clark for giving us some iTunes reviews. Thank you so much. And if any of our international listeners review us, please contact us so we can check more easily than having to go through the iTunes store to every region. Thank you so much for doing that.
And if you want to contact us, go to trek.fm/contact. There is a little form to fill out. You can select To the Journey with the podcast, and we will receive that message. We'll give you a shout out. And Tristan, anything more?
Yes, absolutely. If you want to rate us, please, please do rate us on iTunes. And if you want to find us individually, you can find me at The Insane Robin on Twitter. And where I do the Star Trek question of the day every day, Monday through Friday, actually, around 10:30 Central Time. And Lori, where can we find you?
I am LoriS68 on Twitter. That's where you can find me.
Sure.
You can find me on Twitter, of course, as Oh the Profanity.
And next week, we're going to be talking about the holodeck programs that were used in all 7 years of Star Trek Voyager. The good, the bad, and, you know, maybe the ugly. So please join us next week for that topic. And thank you so much for listening, because you just listened to The Journey.
To The Journey!
To The Journey!